It's great to be with you this morning. Again, we need to be keeping Pastor Nathan in prayer as he's out of town right now for special services. And you guys are stuck with me this morning. So let's go ahead. Let's open on into dive on into 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And for the Sunday school hour, I wanted us to look into the scriptures and study and find, hopefully, what true wisdom is. Seeking wisdom first. What is true wisdom? Now, the wisdom that we should be seeking is not that of what earthly wisdom is, but we should be seeking heavenly wisdom first, not what man considers wisdom. And this is not to say that learning math, sciences, all these other things are foolish. No, it's good to learn these things. It's good to incorporate these things. But when we're talking about ultimately what should help guide us and direct us in our daily lives, what wisdom should we be searching for? It is a wisdom that is not found on this earth. It is a wisdom that only comes but from the Father. And then taking that wisdom, taking those facts and applying them. So that's where we find 1 Corinthians 1:18. And through 21, and this is just a leaping board into the lesson. But we see here in verse 18, it says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness." Well, there's a lot said there. If you're not saved, then preaching the word, reading the Bible, it's foolish to them. It makes no sense. They don't see the wisdom in it. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? So where are you getting your wisdom from? Is it from the world, or is it from God? For after that is the wisdom of God. The world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. It's not by intelligence that we're saved. It's not by intelligence that we should necessarily live our lives, but it's by seeking God's wisdom and allowing Him to use the intelligence, the blessings that He's given us, to guide and direct us day by day. So we're going to first look at what wisdom is. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, though, first. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you again for this opportunity to come before you to share your word. Lord, now I pray that you'll guide and direct me, give me clarity of speech and thought, Lord, and may I be able to communicate these truths that you've given us. And Lord, may we all, after this time together, we will understand what wisdom we should be truly searching for. May you stir our hearts, Lord, open our eyes to the truths that are contained here in your word. Lord, we love you. We thank you for all that you've done and all that you're going to do. For it's in Christ's precious name we pray. Amen. So the first thing I want to look at is, what is wisdom according to the scriptures? Now, a worldly definition of wisdom is that wisdom isn't simply intelligence or knowledge or even understanding. It is the ability to use these to think and act in such a way that common sense prevails and choices are beneficial and productive. So this is more of the worldly definition. You gather the information, you observe through science and so on, or some people say even street smarts will give you wisdom in handling certain situations. But really, what is the true wisdom that we should be searching for? Wisdom is used, or the word wise or wisdom is used in the Bible many times. In fact, 234 times you can find this word. And in the Bible, we find out where wisdom begins. If you turn over to Proverbs 9, verse 10, Proverbs 9, 10, we find where it all starts from and where it all stems from. Proverbs 9, 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." Now let that sink in. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So first and foremost, how can you even have any kind of wisdom if you don't have a proper fear of the Lord? I've said it before, but this fear that we're talking about is not the fear that we are a little ant crawling on the ground and God's going to come over and smash us, okay? It's not that kind of fear, being afraid of Him. It is a reverence, a respect, a yearning for Him, an honoring of who He truly is. And this comes by recognizing who God is and realizing how little we are, how little we know. No matter how educated we are, no matter how much knowledge we can comprehend, it's still so small compared to God the Creator. He created it all. He is the beginning of all wisdom. True wisdom can only come from Him, not what people think is right or wrong. It is not changing or wavering. God never changes, does He? This wisdom is set forth. It is truth. It does not waver. However, when you go on to the wisdom of man, we get into the situation where cultures fluctuate, opinions change. What seems right to me may not be right to you. And so the wisdom that I think, what I think is wisdom, may not be necessarily wise in your eyes. Where is the truth? Where is the standard? Well, with man, it changes all the time, but with God, it never changes. It is solid. It withstands the test of time. So a biblical definition of wisdom is the fear of the Lord, as that's where it begins and God is the source. True wisdom is found in obedience to God, not just hearing it, but being obedient to God, fearing Him and His Word, the Bible, and by praying or asking for it. Have you asked for His wisdom? Have you asked for His guidance? You know, we were faced with so many challenges throughout the day, throughout our lives. Whether it be from changing a job, decisions on what treatments that we should take if we are faced with bad news from the doctors, you know, which hospital to go to, which medicines to take, which way to come to church. Should I take the nice scenic route today or should I go the other way? Pray about it. Seek God's wisdom. It may seem like the scenic route is the best way to go today, but guess what? There could be a wreck there. God knows what's going to happen, and He doesn't want you there. And seek His wisdom. Lord, guide and direct me in which direction to go so that I will arrive where You want me to arrive. Simple. Take it to Him. Ask for Him, and He is willing to give. He wants to give it. Now, what wisdom is not? So we've looked briefly what it is. It is the fear of the Lord. It comes through obedience to Him. But what it is not, earthly or worldly wisdom, is really not wisdom at all, because the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, such as stated in 1 Corinthians 3:19. It is foolishness with God. Let's look at that. Verse 18, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are smart, intelligent? No, that they are vain. Not all, but many scientists, politicians, activists, and other people that are considered to be worldly wise, in the world's eyes to be wise, are in fact not wise at all. They believed the lies of the world, the things that are not true. And in fact, they trust in their own intellect and their own imagination, which honestly, if I try to trust in my own intellect, my own imagination, I'm very limited in what I know. And as we gain more knowledge, you come to the realization the more that we don't know, and how we do lack wisdom in our own ability to ascertain and to come together with what we can assimilate, with what's brought before us. God warns us of such people. In the scriptures, He warns us to watch out for those people that think that they are very wise, that they know it all. I know in pharmacy school, the ones that scared me the most, I had friends that, some of the professors would tell me also, in pharmacy school, you had those people that came through that were book smart. But when it came to when they went out in the field, they would not ask for help. They thought they knew it all. They understood all. So when a problem came forth, they did not look to help. They would not humble themselves and to look for other answers. They thought all the wisdom was contained in what they had learned in pharmacy school. However, that was not true at all. There's all kinds of circumstances that you get into, all kinds of health-related issues in the hospital. And so really, to be truly and wise, you search your references. You talk to those other pharmacists that have worked there for years, that have also seen many things. And that is where you gather to be more wise. It's not all found in just ourselves. So don't trust in that. Don't trust in your own self. We've got to trust in something more than that. Trust in the Lord. So again, it says, and again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, and they are made vain. God warns us of such people. They look smart. They sound smart, and may be even eloquent in speaking. They are great at delivering the facts and seem to have a wealth of knowledge. but they lack what true wisdom is. They don't have a relationship with the Lord. They've never feared the Lord. They've never even began to experience what true wisdom is. Proverbs 3:7 says, "Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." Proverbs 12:15, "The way of the foolish is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise." So where do you look for your wisdom? Where do you look for your guidance? Is it in yourself? Is it in others? Or is it in the Lord? A degree does not make you wise. Having letters after your name doesn't either, whether it's an MD, PhD, PharmD, or any other kind of D or master's or anything like that. That does not necessarily make you wise. A six-figure job, a six-figure salary with a job does not make you wise. Many think that you are wise. Many that think that they are wise are actually fools in the sight of God. Why is this? Because they say there is no God. They say that the Bible has no place for modern society and in science. There's no place, and it's just a bunch of old wives' tales. Yeah, there might be a couple good teachings in there and stuff of how to live your life, but overall, it doesn't really apply to us today. But I will tell you, they are completely wrong. For those of us that have trusted in Jesus Christ as our Savior, for those of us that have yielded and humbled ourselves and asked for the Lord to guide us and direct us in our day-to-day decisions, and the big decisions, the small decisions, we've seen him time and time again answer, a lot of times in ways that don't entirely make sense to us at the time. But when we go down 3 weeks later, 4 weeks later, and we look back, we realize, wow, that decision that I wasn't sure what to do, that I was seeking God's wisdom and guidance on, he knew, and it worked out better than I could have ever imagined. It's worked out much better. So they are definitely wrong. They are wrong because anyone that rejects the true and living God is foolish. I'm not saying that they are necessarily a bad person or that we should even look down upon them. Those people that trust in themselves and their own wisdom, we need to be praying for them. We need to be compassionate. We need to be caring. We need to be sharing the word. We need to be sharing the gospel with them so that they can finally find the truth, so they can actually develop or actually have a true fear of the living God, repent of their sins and get saved, so that then they can actually get a taste of what true wisdom is. He loves every single person. Jesus loves everyone. He does. He died for every single person at Calvary. He invites all to come to him. And we need to make sure that we're going out and telling others of how to come to him. Again, though, if they say there is no God, or if they worship another God, then they cannot have this heavenly wisdom. They are in error. In Isaiah 5, verse 20, go ahead, turn with me there. Isaiah 5, 20. We're getting a little exercise this morning, going through those pages. Isaiah 5, Old Testament. It's another warning for those people that rely upon themselves for wisdom. Isaiah 5, verse 20 says, "Woe unto them that call evil good, and good evil, that put darkness for light, and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes, and prudent in their own sight." I think this really describes today's society, don't you? Really think about it. We see here the people that call evil good. So many things, so many wicked things in our culture today, that people that are very supposedly smart, that know what they're talking about, they say that these things are better for society, better for all humankind, yet they're wicked, they're evil. Name any of these sins, from abortions down the line. It's helping society, population, whatever, population control, whatever it may be. In their own eyes, they think it's good, but it's truly evil. They've relied upon their own selves with their own wisdom and on their own sight, and they're not. We can use information and facts to help us. Information, things that are discovered. But ultimately, wisdom is from the Lord, and it is found in his word, the Bible. And if you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then you have never had the opportunity to gain true wisdom. So we've looked at what true wisdom is, and we've looked at what it's not. The world has one opinion. The world looks at us and says, we are foolish. How in the world could we believe these mythical tales? It's just a story. But on the other hand, we've seen the truth. We've seen God work time and time again. And we look at them and we're like, oh, they're lacking. It's almost we should have pity on them in the fact of if they only realized what the truth was and the peace and the joy that they could experience by accepting Jesus Christ as their Savior. And so we must tell them. So who can receive God's wisdom? And the beautiful thing is that anyone and everyone can. The simple answer is all. All can receive this wisdom. But like I said, unfortunately, not all people will. We have an example, and we have an opportunity. We need to tell others, but it's up to them. They have a free will, whether they will accept or if they will reject. Now, I want to look at some different examples then. I said that all can receive wisdom. Let's look at some biblical examples of who actually received wisdom in the Bible. Now, we're going to get into some more scripture reading. Are you guys okay with reading the Bible this morning? Going through it? Okay. First one, we see those in leadership roles were given wisdom. Deuteronomy 34:9. I'll read this one. You don't have to turn to it. But in Deuteronomy 34:9, it says, "And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom. For Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him, and did as the Lord commanded Moses." Joshua was filled with the spirit of wisdom. He trusted in the Lord. He allowed the Lord to guide him. Did it make sense for them to walk around the walls of Jericho? No, but he did because he searched after God's wisdom, God's direction, had many great victories through the Lord. 1 Corinthians 3, go ahead and turn there. 1 Kings, sorry. Kings doesn't even start with a C, does it? 1 Kings chapter 3, starting in verse 5. It says, "In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, Ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said, Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth, and in righteousness, and in uprightness of the heart with thee. And thou hast kept from him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David, my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. And verse 9, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?" So we see here Solomon saying, "Lord, give me wisdom. Give me the ability to judge." Verse 10, "And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all the days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways, to keep my statute and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days." So Solomon prayed. God said, "What do you want? What are you searching for? What can I do to help you?" And Solomon says, "I need wisdom, Lord. I need your wisdom." And God said, "I'll give it to you." And he also gave him so much more. And we see in 1 Kings chapter 4, in verse 29, we see furthering. It says in verse 29, "And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country, and all the wisdom of Egypt, for he was wiser than all men." And you can continue on. God blessed him with wisdom. And we have then books in the Bible written, Proverbs, mostly written by Solomon, again under inspiration of God, but somebody that had searched for not earthly wisdom, at least in the beginning, but he searched for heavenly wisdom. So we see those in leadership can receive wisdom. Also those that are common people, us common folk. In Exodus chapter 35, starting in verse 31, Exodus 35, verse 31, we see where God filled the workers of the camp of Israel for a specific job. He filled them with wisdom. Starting in verse 31 of 35, it says, "And he hath filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom and understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship, and to devise curious works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass, and in cutting of stones, to set them, and in carving of wood, to make many any manner of cunning work. And he hath put in his hearts that he may teach, both he and Ahilab, the son of Asimach, and the tribe of Dan. Them hath he filled with wisdom of heart, to work all manner of work of the engraver, and of the cunning workman, and of the embroiderer, and the blue, and in the purple, and the scarlet, and the fine linen, and of the weaver, even of them that do any work, and of those that devise cunning work." So we see here where God filled the people of Israel. He filled certain men to be able to do works that were needing to be accomplished. So he did not just even provide wisdom in leadership, but he also provided wisdom in the craft, in doing things, working for the Lord. In Daniel 1:17, we see where he gave wisdom to the children of God. "As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams." That did not come about by Daniel being smart, by studying, by seeing what the latest, tablets written in stone said. No, that wisdom came from a blessing from God. He searched, he was obedient to the Lord, and the Lord blessed him. The Lord had a job for Daniel, didn't he? Many jobs, going throughout, being in one of the most wickedest kingdoms of all time in Babylon, sitting underneath of four of the most wickedest kings of all time. And yet there was Daniel, faithful to the Lord, time in and time out, and God filled him with wisdom. It started with Daniel's obedience, asking, and God gave. He will do the same for us, giving us the wisdom. It may not necessarily be visions and dreams, but he has a specific job and a role for each and every single one of us, both here in the church, for our families, for where we work at. There's things that he wants us to do to accomplish, and we're not going to get them accomplished by relying on ourselves. We must search his heart, seek his wisdom, ask him to help us, to fill us with it. Finally, all who ask can receive this wisdom. James 1:5 says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men occasionally, once in a while." No, liberally. It's okay to be liberal in this area, right? This is a good area to be liberal. "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." So if you're lacking wisdom, you feel like I'm just making bad decision after bad decision, nothing's going right, why can't I? I've studied, I've looked at the manuals. Get on your knees. Ask the Lord to help give you that wisdom. Ask for the direction. And also, ask the Holy Spirit to search your heart. Maybe you haven't been obedient to him. Maybe there's sin that is blocking that communication. God wants to give you the wisdom. He wants to give you the guidance. But if you've got sin blocking that communication, you're not going to receive the message. Okay, so we've got to make sure that we're right here also, and we're searching for it. And why should we strive for wisdom? Why should we? Well, I think it's pretty evident, but let's look at it a little bit. True wisdom is worth a lot. In fact, it's considered priceless. It is a precious and special gift from God, and it produces many wonderful effects in your life. In Proverbs chapter 3, go ahead, Turner. Proverbs chapter 3, 13 through 20, it says, "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom." Well, that sounds like a good start to me already. I want that, right? "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. It's through his wisdom. And in Proverbs 3:35, the wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of the fools. So why should we strive for wisdom? We see here it brings forth some things, doesn't it? It brings forth happiness. In verse 13, happy is the man that findeth wisdom. Finding wisdom produces happiness, contentment, joy. There is peace and security knowing that you're in the center of God's will and that he provides when you have this wisdom. And then that goes into peace. In verse 17, here we see here, it says, her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Her being wisdom. When you find wisdom, you find peace. Yeah, there may be storms around you, but inside you have the peace of God, and you can step forward in wisdom, in his wisdom. We also see here it brings glory. Verse 35, the wise shall inherit glory. This refers to being born again. There is a glory land that we're going to get to go to one day if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you're a child of God, then you are an heir to his inheritance. You've sought, you've humbled yourself, you've asked, you've been saved, and now he wants to fill you with that wisdom, with that glory. And in like Galatians 4:7, it says, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. When you get saved, you become an heir of God through Christ. And one day, you will inherit glory. You'll go to heaven to be with him forever. On the other hand, though, we see those that do not. Those that do not seek the wisdom, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. You may seem wise amongst your peers in this world today. You may be a successful businessman. You may be able to rise to the top of the corporate ladder. But do you truly have wisdom? The wisdom of this world will pass away one day. The only true wisdom is that which comes of the Lord. Do you have that? Have you found that? And it only comes through the very beginning, fearing the Lord. And when you fear the Lord, when you recognize who he was, salvation is there. Accepting Jesus Christ, asking him to save you. So have you found true wisdom? And if not, would you like to today? For it is only found in having proper fear of God. Wisdom is found through salvation. So have you. Most of you, I believe, today are saved. You have placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. So you've had the, at least at some point in your life, the proper fear of God, a reverence, a respecting, recognizing who he was and what he did. Now, have you asked for God to give you wisdom to help continue your guidance so that you can live a victorious life for him, for his honor? And maybe you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Maybe you've never experienced this true wisdom. Well, that can be changed today. Before you leave the church today, you can cry out to God, Lord, I see who you are. Please save me, a wretched sinner. Please come into my heart, and Lord, give me that wisdom, the true wisdom that is spoken of in the Bible. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this day and the blessings you've given us. Lord, I pray that you'll work in our hearts, and if there's any here that are lacking wisdom, maybe Christians that have gotten off the beaten, have gotten off of your perfect will, Lord, maybe they've been relying on what the world deems as wisdom. Maybe they've been relying on